This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, 3 o'clock. Let's talk a little bit of draft. I'm sorry we ended up bickering like the two old men in the Muppets opera there during Jeremy's update. But haven't you seen the construction? I'd like to apologize to everybody. I just get so annoyed when politicians do nonsense. Honolulu Blue Day. Fix the roads.
Or don't fix them all at once.
Okay, now let's get on task. I am making staying at 29 in next Thursday's draft illegal. It's a felony. It's not in play. It's nothing you want. We want to have some fun with you because we all say, hey, I trust whatever Brad Holmes wants to do in the draft. He's got the cachet. He's done a hell of a job drafting. And whether it is moving up to get someone, moving down, or standing pat, it's primarily work. So with that in mind, now I'm asking you, you've got to be willing to take a stand. Staying at 29 is off the board. I need to know, are you on Team Rico, which is Team Trade Down? More trade chips, more bullets, more opportunities, winning. Or are you Team Me, where I think you're a Super Bowl team? If sitting at 29 is not an option, I want to empower Brad Holmes to move up and get what he deems to be one of the handful of best players in this draft. You're a Super Bowl team. I know the phrase one player away, but literally, that's how you have to think. And I've just got to believe there's a corner or a wide receiver or there's a player that Brad Holmes has identified and he's gone, I'm getting that player. Staying at 29, not legal. You're moving up or you're moving down. Pick your side, lay out your case, and let's get into it a little bit. Let's have a little fun. 248-539-9797. I think it's simple. So I want to see where fans are at, Rico.
Yeah, because for me, I think it's better if they move down. Because here's the thing, because you're sitting there at pick 29, Bo Nix or Michael Penix may be there. A team desperate in the second round says, we want to get that extra year of quarterback control. How about we move back a few picks? It allows the Lions to stack their chip.
We're losing them.
It allows the Lions to build depth because you brought in free agents and you brought in a lot of damaged goods, people with damaged goods who are already injured. This allows you to not have the fall off when a lot of those players get re-injured. You're able to go in there and you're able to have 2 second-round picks and 2 third-round picks. That's what I would like to see them do rather than just get that one because you are so close. I think the one thing that did kind of hurt you was just depth because you didn't have people in the end that you could put out there when your players went down.
So Rico's scared. So what I want are studs. Wow. We've seen how San Francisco beat you. Studs. You need more studs. Let's go get a stud. Move up to 15, take the best corner in the draft, be done with it. We all agree staying at 29 is fine, but not for our argument. It's not even an argument.
No,
it's
no.
Fun because Rico's not wrong. If they traded down, I'm not mad.
Because here's the thing. The free agency stuff, Brad cooks when he drafts, and he's able to find the guys in the second and third round. We're not used to it here in this town, but he's able to get starters. He's able to get people. So, yeah, if he has 2 second-round picks and 2 third-round picks, it'll be disappointing on Thursday night.
You like the safe plan. I don't.
It's not a safe plan. I think you need to build some depth because you sign free agents who are damaged.
Risk it, biscuit. David, Team Rico, Team Me, where you at on this? Staying at 29, not an option. What do you do?
Yeah, I would love to trade up to get one of the cornerbacks, whether it's Arnold or whether it's Mitchell. I want to trade up and get a guy or whomever he feels is that guy, go get him. If it's Jared Verse, fine, go get him. If it's Chop Robinson, if you got to trade up to get him, go get him. Whomever he deems to be that guy, go get him. They need another corner. They need somebody opposite Aiden. So, yeah, get a guy. They don't need to sit back and just wait and see and we'll just get best player available. No, the best player available could be up there, so go get him.
248-539-9797. Kenny, staying at 29. Not an option for the sake of our exercise. Move up or move down?
I'm trading up. I'm with you guys. It seems to me that this team, I mean, they were really, really close to a Super Bowl last year. If we just got bounced in the wild card game against the Rams, I might entertain the idea of trading back, getting as many pieces as you can for depth and for everything. But if you're one impact player potentially away from making a Super Bowl, I'm taking that chance every time.
Yeah, but see, to me, that impact player, you probably got to get into the top 10. I don't think you have enough capital to get into that. Now, to make you guys' argument, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks, there's going to be a lot of wide receivers taken. So I'm assuming that's not one of your players that you need. But I just got a feeling that, man, in order to move up, like you're saying, you're going to have to get rid of, you're going to swap your first round selection and you're giving up your second round selection. I don't know if that's something that Holmes would like to do. Sounds good, but I don't know. Because normally, because he's picking so high, you know, you can make that deal. But now it's like, man, we're limited with the amount of picks that we have. So if he has that one guy, sure, go get him. But I would say, do what you did last year. Find that branch who's in the second round who we all thought was going to go in the first round. Select him along with someone else.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking about what he might do this year is, how many guys did he have a first-round draft grade on last year? He said it was a very limited amount. I forget the exact number. So I'm assuming it's going to be somewhat similar this year because he's very shrewd. He's very picky on his first-round picks. So if he has that grade and he wants to trade up to get somebody, I'm going to go ahead and assume that whoever that guy is going to make a difference. I don't know how big of a difference, but he's going to make a difference.
Yeah. I think the way he drafts, I'm sorry, Rico, just to answer your point, Kenny, no, you stop doubting whether guys are going to make a difference. It's pretty clear when they're taking these players in the first and second round, whatever's in their draft profile, when Brad says, look, you guys just don't have the information, it's not even a shot. They're finding guys that are ready to play. They are. Yeah. The only guy they've drafted that you feel like wasn't ready to play was J-Mo. He was hurt. Then he got a gambling scandal. And then it's taken him time. But outside of that, dude, these guys hit the ground running.
They do, which is why I'm saying, to me, around the Broncos Raiders selection, is going to let me know if he's going to move up or not. Because if Bo Nix, Michael Penix are not selected, now it may be advantageous for you to then trade out of that pick 29, pick up extra picks that can help you out. Because if you know Holmes, he's probably got a bunch of people, and he's probably got people who, yeah, as you just said, Mike, I don't think they understand. This guy is really good, but he's just sliding. The mock drafts don't understand what I know. And if there's multiple players there that have slid to the second round and he's got those extra picks, he's going to take both, saying, I had both of these guys for first round grades.
Right.
So now we just improved the team. And we moved down and got an extra third-round pick as well.
I just wish people would change how they look at mocks. Mocks are entertaining. They're fun. They're useless.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. These writers, they don't have the intel. They don't know the value charts of these teams.
The mock draft is simply like the carnival guy who guesses your weight or guesses your age. They don't know. It's just like, 32.
Mock draft more or less accurate than Miss Cleo?
Less.
Okay, then that's saying something. 248-539-9797. David, early returns on this question before we get to the callers in a moment.
Trade up. Trading down in the first round is for rebuilding teams. We are not rebuilding anymore. We're made. I know staying at 29 is illegal, but I think we make the pick at 29, then Brad starts cooking in rounds two and three.
And I totally get it. We're just having fun with this a week out. That your level of trust in Brad, and again, Rico and I both outcomes are totally fine because there is a trust in Brad Holmes executing both outcomes. It's more about figuring out what you guys truly want when you're forced into a move. For me, it would be identify the player that makes Brad Holmes do that awkward high five hug routine he did when they got Gibbs, when he was like fist pumping no one and almost tore his shirt. Like, I want that. What's that player? Let's do that.
See, I think the only player like that has got to be a corner because he hasn't been aggressive trying to get another corner. So if you want to get, you know, CB1 in this draft,
nah,
you're going to have to
We'll get that when we trade for Lattimore. Sign Dave Burkett.
Okay.
Burkett's got it all. We're good. Dave wrote it. It means it's happening. We're getting Lattimore.
Oh, if you're doing that, then I would say move back because
no, move up.
Get
move
depth.
Up again.
Get depth.
Well,
get another
corner.
Let me read this text that's on your side, Rico, and it kind of makes sense. IP from Farmington says, I'm Team Rico. Take those 2 seconds and thirds to get the best O-line, DB, DN. I'm worried about the O-line because of their age. Decker gets hurt. Zeitler's old. Ragnow's dinged up every year.
And what if Brad moves up to get an offensive lineman that he views as elite? I'll say it to you again. Sewell's going to get paid, and when he does, he's going to play left tackle, which means Taylor Decker is vaporized. Ragnow may retire at the end of the year. What if Brad Holmes has a grade on an O-lineman that is just so much higher than everything else? And you moving up doesn't mean 12 or 13. What if you have to move from 29 to 20 to get a guy that, let's say he's got a grade on this cat and it's like Quentin Nelson.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing.
Just saying.
If he's got the grade on that guy, he may be thinking, I don't think that they know how good he is. And either I can get him now or get him with pick number 32.
See, you're breaking the rules of this now.
No, no.
No, you're breaking the rules.
No, no. You slide back and you get that guy.
Slide to the left. Listen. For the sake of the exercise.
Trade down.
No, trade up.
Trade down.
That's why.
Because I'm smarter than these other GMs.
Wow. See, the sad reality is I think Rico actually believes that.
We have rules for a reason. It was trade up, trade down.
And I said trade down.
But now Rico's like, but wait. If he likes the player, nobody else is going to know it. So Pythagorean theorem, he'll be available at 63.
Trade down.
A squared plus B squared equals trade down, but trade up.
All right, I'm going to get some caffeine. You read a nice message to the people here, and I'll be ready. Hold on. Let's get it. All right. Get that caffeine on a Friday.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
David, the ticket text, please. We'll get to some of the calls. We're having a little fun with a week from today. You wake up, staying at 29 was not an option. Move up or move down. I know the three of us over here, let's move up. If Holmes has targeted a guy that he thinks is going to be a star, that's what this team is short on. And you're a Super Bowl caliber team. That's what Super Bowl teams do. Rico, it's the safe move. It could be the right move. You just move down. You get more bullets. You build more depth. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, and we don't have to look at Bobby Vildor. David, ticket text first.
Move up, get a real corner or the best pass rusher, edge or interior. I'm starting to think that we may be wrong because it's a series of texts coming in now saying I'd rather move back. I need depth. I don't think the Lions are one piece away. That is from Ryan.
You know what? Hold on. Stop. See, now I have a problem because what Ryan's doing is symptomatic of this town. He's lowering the bar. Oh, we're not one piece away. Oh, how many pieces are you away? You had a 17-point lead in the second half in the NFC title game. How many How many pieces exactly are you away? You want to tell me?
Move back at all costs. Move back into the second and pick up a third. I want an edge, a corner, and two inside offensive linemen like BB or Zinter. Okay. No way he stays put. He is moving up. I'm willing to bet my paycheck on it.
All right.
Jeff in a UPS truck.
Let's go, Jeff.
I'm now 100% Team Rico to deal for another second and a third round pick. Four top 75 players would be amazing.
Yeah, but guys, there's 22 starting spots. And I don't know that you're starting 22 is good enough, specifically defense. Why not add a young, cheap, controllable star? Especially like, look, I know we're talking a lot about corners. It's the idea that if Brad Holmes, who is a cornerologist,
mm-hmm.
has identified his next Jalen Ramsey,
mm-hmm.
his guy, let him cook.
You'll go get him. And I won't have a problem with that.
We're trading with the Colts.
But
it's official. We're trading with the Colts.
Well, let's see what that'll cost you. But I'm looking at the fact that, you know what? Cam Sutton is gone, and you got Mosley that you don't know what he's going to give you. So, yeah, that's why I'm saying you may want to try to stockpile some young secondary pieces because you may end up needing them late in the season or into the playoffs when these guys get re-injured. So it's not a scared move. It's more of a let's invest in a little bit later because I think you have enough to get back to the playoffs. You want to make sure that you have a longer run in the playoffs. And I think that those players can assist you in getting there.
David.
Rick from Warren says, I'm trading up. The only way I would trade back is if I can't seem to find a partner to trade up with. Another one says, Brad needs to trade down for more picks because he has a tendency to grab starters late, increase those odds. If it was Wednesday and cloudy, I'd say trade down and accumulate picks, but it's Friday and sunny, so let's go full Madden.
Right.
Trade up and get Brock Bowers.
So trading up to get with the Colts, right?
Yeah.
Let's see what that'll cost you.
It's not going to cost much. You're fine.
It's going to cost you.
No, it's not.
It's going to cost you pick one, two, and you're probably going to lose like five and both your six-round picks.
No, you would do a little next year.
Okay, then fine. You're going to go picks one and two.
One, two, and a four next year. Wrap it up. We're done. Move up to 15. Colts don't deserve a good player. The people of Detroit do.
Okay.
And at 15, we select Toledo guy. There you go. I don't care. Whatever they want to do, I just want to get a premium player.
Can Roger Goodell introduce him as that?
Toledo
the
guy.
The Lions take Toledo guy.
Quinyon Mitchell, sorry. It's the end of a long week, and my brain doesn't work quite as well. Plus, the caffeine hasn't kicked in yet. Give me 15 minutes. All right, let's go over to Chris, 97.1. Chris, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call today.
Of course.
Hey, just wanted to bring this up. I know everybody after the end of the season, and Goff had a great season, they were going to have to offer him an extension. And then everybody asked, why did we draft Hendon Hooker then? But I think Brad Holmes was kind of playing the long game where he got a first-round talent in the third round, and this year they're definitely moving up, and I think he's going to be on the trade block this year to move up with.
Hendon Hooker?
That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah.
I think if you put Hendon Hooker on the trade block, you'd be lucky to get a seventh-round pick.
I was about to say, Chris, here's the thing. Justin Fields, who we saw actually play, didn't get a first round. Like, got quarterbacks who have played this game didn't get a first-round selection. You would just release him. Because
Hendon
I don't
Hooker's
think
value is to you. His value is to be the player you hope is ready to play if and when Goff get hurt.
Yeah.
The value around the league is null. You won't get anything. Yes, Kenny.
The caller called him a first-round talent. He didn't even get drafted in the first. You can't call him a first-round talent.
Oh, but
you didn't know he was injured.
His knee exploded.
He was on the Heisman Trophy watch list.
What is this town's obsession with Hendon Hooker? I feel calls on this.
That's a rhetorical question, right? You do know the answer. The answer is, it always goes back to, it's the reason why Cookies doesn't like Goff. Goff's not mobile. Hendon Hooker is. It's that whole argument. I'm not saying it's right, but everybody who's pro-Hooker thinks that he's going to be the person that that's that mobile QB that you see everybody else. He's going to be your Justin Fields. He's going to, I mean, he's going to be that guy that just runs around, throws the ball, your Jordan Love type of thing. That's what they're hoping for.
Okay, I quit.
Yeah, me too. I told you, if Goff is healthy, Hendon Hooker will never play a snap here. It was just a dumb draft pick, period.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a starter.
100% it is. In the hands of Brad Holmes? Same people who are lusting to give him an extra third-round pick are the same ones who defend that nonsense.
And I'm hoping that, you know what, Brad is smart enough to learn from his mistake and realize, probably had I taken a defensive person, whether it was on the D-line or in secondary.
I said Toledo guy, you just said defensive person. We're on a roll this segment.
Well,
defensive human. David, a couple ticket texts. Then I got something for Rico before football today.
Can we stop with trying to hoard draft picks? We were only one play from the Super Bowl.
Move them picks.
Get a star.
No. Let's go. Light them on fire.
I would agree with you guys, except for the fact.
You're scared.
It's not scared, Mike. It's taking advantage of a team that's going to want to move up to get a quarterback before the first round is over, so they hold that extra year up for that quarterback. So if you want this guy that badly, come on. Give me everything that I want, and I'll give you this pick. So it's not scared. It's I'm going to take advantage of the market.
Who's your favorite player in that 15 range? Who's Rico Beard's guy that, according to mock drafts, will go 12 to 18, 10 to 19? Who's the Rico guy that I could convince you to move up to take?
I would take either Arnold or Mitchell.
Defensive human.
Defensive human who wears a single digit.
Excellent. Thank you. David, one more, and then we will move on. I got a question for Rico to ask.
Yeah, someone else is saying move up, but go get Dallas Turner.
I don't think they're going to do that because, once again, you bet big on Houston. You bet big on Davenport. I just don't see it.
And you're doing that. You're giving up this year's first, next year's first, and probably
you're scaring everyone away.
No, Mike, I'm informing them of what it's going to cost.
It's Friday.
Everybody says, listen,
I don't need your facts.
Rico's so we going can't, to the dollar store to yeah. get everything
so
for the
we
Lions.
Can't be fiscally responsible on a Friday?
No, absolutely not. America's not fiscally responsible. Why should we?
You know what?
F it.
Let me just
print laptop more money.
Laptop's closed.
Who cares about the deficit? Goulet. All right, we'll get a couple of callers momentarily. I had a question for Rico and David and Kenny, and let me just say, I understand we're roughly 20 games into a long year. Okay, I know this. But it was something I was thinking about. Tigers tonight, they're in Minnesota. Minnesota's ace, Joe Ryan. You're pretty heavy underdogs tonight, and Flaherty's been pretty bad. The point I'm making is, after that ridiculous outer space lucky start, you're back to square one. Like, you're a 500 team who largely doesn't hit the ball unless the other team has it bounce off their sack or they fall over in center field or something else ridiculous. And you're just not good. Like, do we suck again? Are we now back to one with the Tigers? I mean, again, Torkelson started, he was terrible in spring training. He's been awful to start the season. The lineup is a complete joke. Mark Canha's your best hitter. That's not a compliment. And pitching-wise, I understand. I told you, I hated the Flaherty signing. I wasn't going to mock the Maeda signing, but I didn't love it. And Maeda, historically, is terrible in April. Go look. I promise you, that's factual. He gets better in May, but he's been terrible. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, this division's wide open. And I'm sitting here 20 games into the season. They're 10-9. They're probably going to lose tonight. And they got a negative run differential. And scoring, again, yesterday, notwithstanding, Rico, the first 7 innings of games, they average, I think, 1.9 runs per.
When you hit me with that stat, I was like, wow. But yeah.
So I know it's 20 games in, but am I wrong? I guess it also comes to this. Rico always is like, well, Mike, people just want to have fun. They're not fun to watch because you got to sit there for 2 hours.
Or are they? because you know.
Oh, the eighth inning's coming?
Not to leave the game early, because in the eighth inning, that's when the party gets started.
I just wanted to ask the question. Like, I know you can't really be declarative 20 games into a season, but it's not like you're two games either. So you just kind of, I know, Sparky told me 40 games. No. Fine.
It's why I said you needed to jump out to that start at the beginning of the year, because you were playing bad teams, and I knew water was going to level out, and it's sad, but
they
lost
a series to the A's. They lost 3 out of 4 to the Rangers, and they split with whatever's left of the Twins.
You lost to a homeless team.
Right. My point is, Rico, we talked about, come on, let's have a good month of April. Let's get out of the gates fast. They're staring 10-10 down the barrel of a gun.
My goal is, can you be north of 500 by the end of April? Technically, they're still north of 500 right now. And we see what happens after that. Because hopefully it'll be enough that you'll go and become some buyers at the trade deadline, because you'll see what we all see, that sense of urgency. You can win this division. How about you didn't do anything in free agency? Maybe it'll have to come through a trade.
Right, I had to ask a question. It's like, we're not doing like some huge topic. Kenny violently grabbed the microphone away from David. Aggressive, yes.
I just want to know what they've done this offseason to convince you that they don't suck again. Because to me, they haven't done nearly enough. If they would have done one splash move, I mean, great. Kent Tomiaitis, fantastic, whatever.
He stinks. Is he?
No, he stinks.
I can't believe they gave him 2 years.
Yeah, the Colt Keith thing too. Hey, if he works out, great. But if not, it's another bat that can't hit at the bottom of the
lineup.
No,
but I don't worry about Colt Keith.
I don't either.
Because he's so young and he's got pedigree. He'll be fine. I think he'll be fine. That doesn't mean he's a star.
Well, you're not batting him third either. No. You're not putting the whole team on his back. Torque, yikes, big yikes, right? What moves this offseason have they made to make you go, aha?
None.
Exactly.
None.
So, no, there's no reason to believe that they're going to be. I mean, they might be a little better than last year, but what is that saying?
Right, 78 to 80.
Right.
78 to 82.
Ooh.
I'm with you on this. And, Kenny, listen, if a week from now they've won 5 out of 6, you start to have a different opinion. That's where baseball is so difficult to be declarative. I'm simply saying, hey, probably losing tonight 20 games into the year, and it's like,
but that's just
I don't have to be impressed by it.
No, you don't have to be impressed. But man, this is
the backswing of this, though, is we play in this division, though.
He's having a nervous breakdown.
No, because at least you're 500 if you lose tonight, and you're not already 7 games. Well, no, because that's been every April, Mike. It's been every April. They start off, they just fall straight out the gate, and
it's we'll take that city. That the mayor, everybody.
Did you
the
not
mayor.
See the angst on my face? Because I knew what I was about to say and how it was going to sound. But yes, it is progress. It is. And it is.
Okay. You know what?
It's yes, we will take that because it's not them finishing the month of April and they're already 7 games below 500.
It's nickel and dime progress, though. I mean, that's going to put you what? 2 or 3 or 4 games better than you were last year. Terrific.
Kenny,
but
last year, had they not stumbled in April, maybe they win the division.
I quit.
Let me bring people in.
I'll see you guys on Monday.
If you're not watching on the stream on YouTube or Twitch, Rico did have pain in his face.
Oh, it was pain. It was pain. It was a crisis of conscience. It was like Rico knowing how to solve a murder, but he didn't want a rat on a friend. It was like,
big boy did it.
But I understand, too, is, hey, if you're 500 after April, it's not a crime. It's just we talked about how bad the schedule is. Mm-hmm. And the Twins missing several of their best players. The Rangers are missing 3 everyday regulars. They're missing DeGrom. They're missing Max. You didn't face Eovaldi.
The A's missing their home.
And you still got taken to the cleaners. The A's at home. And I know, well, the A's aren't as bad as everybody thought. Well, the A's ain't good. And here we are, probably going to be 10-10. And it's just the offense is. I swear to God, the only time they score runs, errors. I mean, yesterday, Leody Taveras looked like the Bad News Bears in center field. That's my moment. I'm still watching a lineup that features Veerling and McKinstry and, I mean, Parker Meadows. A home run aside, Guy was hitting 053 on the season.
Hey, Carpenter hit one.
Wow.
Do you remember when Chris said the rebuild is over?
Yeah, he also said district was moving along nicely. I could say lots of things. It doesn't mean it's true.
We're not going to be there this next week down at the district.
District's delayed. It's never going to be done. All right.
We can move on.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah.
Hey, let's check the website. Maybe those neighborhoods are back on it.
Season. Let's just hope the Tigers are above 500 at the end of the month.
Maybe we will get the LED roof after all. Or not.
Oh, it'll put up the Lions Select.
Right. Exactly.
On the roof.
So let's do this, guys. The draft is 6 days away. Here's what I want to do. I want to go through the first 10 picks and maybe sprinkle a few outside of the top 10. I want to talk about maybe worst-case scenarios of what you think these teams will do for sure.
Wait a minute, what do you mean worst-case scenarios?
I'll start with this.
Okay, David put his hands up.
Let's start with number one, the Chicago Bears. Is there any way they pass on Caleb Williams?
No.
Okay.
No. Not that that's right, wrong, or otherwise, right. But no. They've traded the other quarterback. They landed this pick. Here's the thing. From the very beginning, if you're Ryan Poles, and you get, you know, it would take this godfather offer. I just feel like the Bears played this very poorly.
Because the only way I think that you could see the Bears trading and the fans of Chicago not revolting is if they swap picks with the Commanders.
Or and Patriots they get the, or something
no,
up
they
high.
Get the number two pick and they can say, well, we really like Jaden better. So we got extra picks and we got the quarterback we really wanted. You don't pick in the top three, good luck trying to keep your job.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Jaden Daniels. Let's move to number two.
Okay.
Washington Commanders. Here's what's interesting. Looking at the betting markets, ESPN Bet, the market has moved in a day for the favorite for number two. Yesterday, Jaden Daniels was at -350. And Drake May was at +240. Today, Jaden Daniels is at -130. Drake May is at -105. Almost even odds.
David, here's what I'll say. It just always feels like draft season, it's the same playbook. You spend a draft season hyping one person and slandering another. And then as we approach the draft, the scales of justice begin to turn. And now all of a sudden, Drake May's not awful. And now all of a sudden, maybe J.J. McCarthy's not Christ. So you just start to see it turning. Like Drake May was supposed to be the number two pick. And then there was this whole last 6 weeks we've dealt with. David, I don't know. I understand fully Jaden Daniels. Like you're in that Washington, D.C., Baltimore, DMV area thing. His comp is Lamar Jackson, Rico, and that sells tickets.
Right, and Lamar's in your backyard. So if you're Washington, you want to steal away some of those Baltimore fans. I would say this is the Jim Costa value. If you want to bet on Jake right now, bet the farm, because I think that number is going to become ridiculous where you won't make any money on him in a few days. As Mike said, you see that where all of a sudden the line just shifts and moves, and then tomorrow it'll be, you know, Jaden Daniels -600.
See, and that's where the mistake part comes in on this. And it's focused straight on Washington here. How Washington does it, they've done this for years. They bring in their top 30 visit. They brought in like 20 players this week on their last
minute. Didn't they have them all there at once eating dinner with each other?
And they said they want to do that because they want to see certain interaction with each other. Maybe there's a competitive gene here. Could they be making a mistake and pushing Drake May ahead of Jaden Daniels?
There's a reason why Washington always drafts like this. Yeah. There's a reason why Washington stinks. There's a reason why Washington is a bunch of losers. It is. They've never been great. And you do that. You literally had reportedly all your quarterbacks together going out to dinner. What are we doing here? Because now what do you want them to get into a fist fight battle royal? What is this, Hunger Games?
I do a radio show, so yes. Would have been amazing.
Like everybody puts their I'll pay for dinner.
Like Caleb Williams hitting Drake May with a seafood tower or something. Yeah, I do radio. It'd be amazing.
Let's move over to the number three pick because their GM has spoken this week and he said that they are open for business. Are they really open for business or is he just trying to be open for business?
It's the worst thing to say as a radio host, but I have no handle on what New England even is. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know what they're even trying to do. The win total's 4.5.
You know, free
agency
like?
Was a complete waste.
They seem like the Raiders of the Northeast, where you just kind of, okay, if they take this person, you're like, yeah. All right.
The easiest thing to do is take a quarterback, right? It would seem quite obvious. You just take a quarterback. But their roster is so – there's such a talent deficit. The Patriots have no talent. They're awful. You now have a complete regime change. You have a rookie head coach. They have to replace the whole football department. Mm-hmm. Because Bill Belichick was the entire department. See, I'm not saying that to be a smartass.
No.
It's the truth.
Mike, I think if you're New England, you realize the void that you're in, and we can bottom out and fans won't revolt because we could always say Bill left us in this situation. If you can somehow collect a bunch of picks, like the Vikings give you the two picks there and they throw in their first round pick next year, you could sell your fan base because there are zero expectations.
If you don't like Drake May or Jaden Daniel, if you don't like either one, or you're not comfortable getting left with one of them, then yes. But I mean, man, is that a tough press conference to explain to your fans, your customers? Yeah, we don't have a quarterback. We got Bailey Zappi's head in a jar. That's our plan. Like, you're right, but man, do you want to get up to that podium?
No,
because Gerard Mayo.
No, but every now and then there's a situation where no matter what you do, you cannot be the bad guy because the previous person was so bad.
Yeah, you already saw the slander too. You can't trust Belichick. You like those reports coming out this week?
Yes, of what Kraft talked to Atlanta about. Yeah,
it's just one of those things where if it will be bad. It's kind of like if Detroit trades down on the first night, the fans would be disappointed, but you can sell them, trust me, this is going to work out in our favor. Same could happen with New England.
So here's what I want to do here. Arizona, Tennessee, Chicago at 9. I think we pretty much know what they're all doing.
Do
right?
we?
Arizona, uh-uh. Marvin Harrison Jr.
I don't know
Paco
that.
Paco for Tennessee. And a wide receiver for Chicago.
No, Davis, see, I would say actually Arizona may start the fireworks of the draft.
So would the Giants trade up to 4?
No, leave me out of this.
No, but at that point, I think if you now are starting to get desperate for a quarterback and you're like, man, all right, let's just, what it's going to cost to get JJ, Arizona's answering the phone call because they already, I think I said it a couple weeks ago, I think they got 6 picks in the top 90. And if they could trade back and get more, they need all the help they can get. So if the Giants want to move up,
stop.
If the Vikings,
involving me.
If the Vikings want to move up, if the Broncos somehow want to sell their soul for the next 5 years, they're going to take every phone call. So I think that the draft actually starts with Arizona. I don't think they make that pick at 4.
And then we'll close it out with this. Top 30 visits for Brock Bowers. He visited number 5. He visited number 9. He visited number 7. He visited number 10. Guarantee right now, he's not falling out of the top 10.
I just feel like if he falls to the Jets, how do you not take him? NFL ready, weapon. It really takes the pressure off of that wideout crew, and it's all in on Aaron Rodgers this year. How do you not take him if you're the Jets?
Because I think if you're the Jets, you're probably looking at one of the receivers that you thought was going to go a little higher sitting right there. So there's Neighbor, and you're like, wow, we thought he was going to be taken. Let's take the receiver. I understand what you're saying.
No.
But
just no.
Right, but I mean, it's the Jets. They're going to say, hey, we can sell this. We can get this top receiver that we thought he was going to go top four, top five. He's sitting there at 10.
None of those top three will be there. You want to put that on the board? I'll do another lunch bet with you.
Okay.
Neighbors, Adunze, and Maserati Marv. None of them will be there at 10. You want to take the bet?
Yeah, I'll take the
bet. I'll put it on the board next to your new picture Evan made for you.
Okay.
We'll take that.
Next to the Lions in the black uniforms.
We'll take that.
The Kadarius Toney.
No, okay. No.
And that is football today.
Not on Friday. Not doing that.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.